Standing on the Promises, page 31.
I was sitting here thinking about some things, talking about some things back there before we come in. Funny you should be singing Fill My Day Every Day with Love. You know, I was thinking about eternal life is what you do for others. And now I got thinking life is what you do for others. Otherwise, you're no earthly good. If all you're doing is taking and looking out for yourself, and nobody else involved, you know, it's not life. And you look at the world today and there's so much hatred. Hatred for Israel, hatred. If they could get by with it, they'd express that hatred more in this country. And maybe the day's coming. But, you know, I was just thinking about Corinthians 2 also. Corinthians 13, where it says charity. But we trade that out for love. You know, charity's given, you know, and love always gives. You know, God so loved the world that he gave.
Amen.
And you look at the fruits of the Spirit, and it's always doing for somebody else, you know. And, you know, it's just beautiful to see God's nature. And you look out here, and you see anything contrary to it, it's not God's nature. You know, trying to take, trying to destroy, trying to overrun, you know, don't want peace. You know, that's not God's nature. That's hatred. That's the opposite of love. But, you know, I'm thankful I have love in my heart. Thankful I have God in my heart. God is love.
Amen.
And if you don't love, you don't have God. If you have God, you have love.
That's
you
right.
know, it all ties together. And to know what love is, love is just not a word.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, a lot of people say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And they don't know what they're saying hardly. When I say it, I want to mean it.
Amen.
You know, I love his truth.
Amen.
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 Standing on the Promises, page 31.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the I'm standing on the promises of God.
One more time.
Oh, yes, I'm standing.
The announcements out of the way real quick. We got our brother Peter Okeo speaking tonight.
Amen.
We got a special service coming up on Saturday. That'll be at 7. And then Sunday, we'll have dinner after church and then Bible study. We'll also have musicians practice tomorrow night. And then Brother Jeremiah and Pastor Moore are going to San Diego December 1st through the 4th.
Okay.
And Amen. Thanksgiving service November 19th. So keep those things in mind.
Amen.
We got time to get the kid up to sing the song?
Sure.
Praise him. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I'm not even weeding, but I'm going to testify while they're getting things ready. I'm glad to be here tonight.
Amen.
And this song they're going to sing, they've sung before, but the words mean a lot to me. He is a faithful God. There's a lot of things in this life that come and go that will let you down. But God and His Word, which is the same thing, you can stand on that. He is faithful. And I thank God for everything He's done for us. And I hope you enjoy this song. And let's make sure, Praveen, we turn up the mics of Jonathan and Riley here as they...
Sing, y'all.
Amen.
Give us the Lord.
I'll tell you what, I'll testify while I'm getting the strap fixed. How about that?
Amen.
It's been a good week.
Yes.
And it's really nice just to be able to come to a place where you know you're getting the truth.
Amen.
Because Kara and I had the opportunity to go to a wedding on Sunday in between services. And we were planning on staying the whole time. But Henry was acting up, so we just left early and we got to come back to Bible study. But the pastor that got up to officiate the wedding, man, it was like I got thrown back into the church world. It kind of messed with my brain because it was like he was putting on a show while he was doing their ceremony. And it made me think about... When you officiated Kara and I's wedding, it was plain and it was spoken true. There was no show, there was no fireworks, but it meant more to me than anything that man had to say. I mean, you know, and you listen to him pull stuff from the Bible, he maybe had 5% of the truth. And it's just, it was so good to come back and just wash that from my brain with the truth. All right.
See the light of day, but I am persuaded beyond all hope, you won't let go of me. I stake my claim on every word you say, no, you will not be late,
and I will sing you brighter than thunder. Cause you are on my side, I trust you with my heart. I know my story isn't over, leaning against all odds. You are a faithful God. You're faithful, God. Darkest midst of weather. Though I can't see, I still believe you're there. So I'm moving forward, crashing waves. I know I'm safe with you. You hold my life, you hear my cry, with every breath inside. And I will sing through fire and thunder, 'cause you are on my side. I trust you with my life. I know my story isn't over. Even against all odds, you are a faithful God. That's who you are. You are a faithful God. I am convinced that your promises will hold together, and I will dwell in the hope of your love forever. I am convinced that your promises will hold together, and I will dwell in your love. I will sing through fire and thunder, if you are on my side. I trust you with my life. I know my story is even against all odds. You are a faithful God. That's who you are. You are a faithful God. Oh, you're a faithful God.
Let's sing page 215. Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? It's in the choruses. It's key of F.
Amen.
Key of F.
Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good to me. The living Word made flesh again and revealed to me. I was blind and found me. Oh, then I rose up to praise the Lord for all of His mercy to me. We shouldn't sit with our heads hung down. Christ is with us. Giving
Every word of it. Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good to me. This living word made flesh again. I was blind and I could not see it. Those words just rang so true to me.
Yes.
And I was sitting there and I was excited the whole service, but Lily was asleep on me and I couldn't get up. And then she had to sing and I woke her up. And I was like, well, God just gave me the opportunity to get up. And I was sitting there and I've been watching this stuff in Israel and it's so sad, but it also excites me because I know that God cannot just let them suffer over there forever, that he's going to eventually have to go back to them. And just like they said in that song, even the rapture will take us away from death, our last enemy. And we even have a revelation on that death isn't even an enemy for us, that there's no sting in death. And there's just so many things that we have a revelation on that we take for granted. And I just sit there, I'm like, why shouldn't I praise the Lord? There's nothing, nothing in the entire world that could happen that would make me not praise the Lord, because everything on this side is just so temporary. And you were sitting there, and when you said that, if you knew that God was coming on Tuesday, Monday you wouldn't be worried or stressed about everything. And it made me laugh because kids are just so literal. On Monday night, Daisy came and was like, I'm not doing my homework because Pastor Mary said God's coming Tuesday. And I was like, that's not quite what God said. Amen. I was like, I appreciate you listening. I was like, but I do want to take that spirit with me all the time. Amen. I don't want to stress over the little things. I just want to sit here and be blessed by the Lord because he's so good to me. And I love this place and I have so many thoughts just overflowing in my heart. I miss Sunday morning because Lucas was sick. And I was sitting there and I was hearing our body testify. I was hearing Sister Courtney get up and say that there's no bad days. It's just good and great. And I was hearing Sister Christy lose her mom and come here. And I was like, what a strong body we have. And we're just so blessed. Yes. I just love hearing. I couldn't be more thankful.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I get a G?
I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. My ka evil io oe e ka haku iko inoa e ka haku ko ino anui anui ka ho my ka I. My ka evil io oe e ka haku I ko inoa e ka haku ko ino anui anui ka ho o mai ka I. I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name. your name is great and greatly to be praised. God bless you.
Sing page 10 in the courses. We are standing. It's key of D.
Yes,
and we'll get
Lord.
Brother Moore up. We are standing.
The ground holy wasn't the dirt itself. It wasn't the ground itself. It was that God was there. And if that could be that way with a mountain, how much more is it when God moves into your holy ground? And what makes you holy ground is not your dirt. It's that God moved in there. I'm holy because he's holy. Anything that God touches gets holy. Just think about the tabernacle in the wilderness. It wasn't the tabernacle. It wasn't the Ark of the Covenant. It was that God moved in the Ark. And the Ark moved in the temple in the wilderness. And that was God's dwelling place. And anywhere that God dwells is holy.
That's right. Amen.
It's just that simple. You say, well, I want to get holy. Get God. Anywhere God is, there's righteousness. If you want to be righteous, get God. And it's that simple. We've made so much, made it so hard, and made it so difficult that we can't even find God. And he's standing right in front of you.
Amen.
He talks to you. He walks through you. He walks in you. You take him to work with you. You take him to school with you. You can't help it. Everywhere God goes is holy. And we're standing on holy ground tonight because God is on your ground. That's how simple that is. God makes you holy. Brother Branham said it wasn't the holy mountain, but it was the holy God on the mountain. That's what made all the difference in the world. And that's what makes all the difference in the world with us. You say, well, I'm going to stop this. I'm going to clean up this. I'm going to do this. You do all that you want to. Wear yourself out. Work yourself to death. But if God never moves in there, it ain't going to be as holy. It's not going to. It won't be 1 ounce as holy as it was when you started your work. Because without him, there is no holiness. That's what's so funny about the church world. They want to get the holiness in you without getting God in you. And God can't get in you without his word. His word comes in you by the Holy Ghost, which makes you holy. That's the way that works. So we're standing on holy ground tonight by the grace of God. It's good to be in the house. It's good to have everybody here with us. And I'm going to get Brother Allen come and say something. And then he tries to hint for me and say, you know, I can come and not say nothing. I know he can, but that's my brother. So I want him to come and greet you all and greet Brother KO. And then we're going to turn it over to Brother Peter and let him do what he does best.
Yes.
So come on, Brother Allen.
Good to be here this evening, and it's always a privilege. And standing outside there, and I shook hands with Brother Peter Okeo, and it's been many years. And but Brother Moore and I were telling him, you know, he hasn't aged much. And we got our hair is turning gray and white, and I'm losing mine, and so and. But it's good to be here. Good to see our brother Peter Okeo. Looking forward to hearing from him. And I believe what Brother Moore was talking about. God is here. He's very simple. And you know, the word means something. And it means something to this flesh man. And sometimes we sing that song, God standing on holy ground. Sometimes we'll sing it, we'll say, in holy ground. Because that's where he's at. He's in the ground. And so when God touches something, you have to look at it the way God looks at it. And forget about the way you look at it with these eyes. But you have to look at it with the way God said. Because he said, be ye righteous even as he's righteous. And so it's his righteousness that we can say that by. And so there's a lot of things we could say. And I was thinking about Brother Deskins talking about love. And love is actionable. It's an action thing. And the message that we have is actionable. And it does apply to our flesh. Don't tell me it don't apply to my flesh, because it does. Because if it don't, you may as well just do away with the word made flesh. Because it is actionable, and you're looking at the word made flesh. If you can see it with the right eye. And I want to give you a little wisdom, if it's okay.
Yes.
This comes from my mom and my dad.
Amen.
Mom and dad always told us kids, don't say nothing about no one if you can't say something good about them.
That's right.
Amen. Love is actionable. And if you put someone else down, you think you're better than them. And I was listening to our brother Lockett there the other day on the broadcast, and I heard a few of his words. And he said we're all the same, including us pastors. You know what?
I'm just a servant.
That's all. That's all we are.
I'm a flunky.
Amen.
I wash his feet.
Amen.
When I'm preaching the gospel, I'm Amen. Washing feet.
Amen.
Amen.
That's real washing feet.
Yes.
And you know what? It goes just a little bit further. When you have a real relationship with God,
yes.
fellowship isn't complete without a relationship.
Amen.
And you know where the relationship takes place? We have our families, don't we?
Amen.
We have our children, but only one gets to go to the bedroom.
Amen.
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 Now, in a courtship, you couldn't do that. Fellowship was not complete in the courtship.
Right.
It was just a fellowship, but fellowship is complete when you step into the little room.
Amen.
The little room is where the relationship goes. Are we having a relationship with God?
Amen.
Can you see the Word made flesh? You know what it is? It's the unveiling of God in you.
Amen.
God is unveiling Himself. You know why you're seeing so much more? It's because God continues and He keeps unveiling the real you.
Amen.
That's the unveiling of God.
Amen.
We already had the Son of Man 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Well, did He come again?
Yes.
I believe He did.
Yes.
He's standing here.
Yes.
Love is actionable. Yes. This message is full of action.
Amen.
You know what the Holy Ghost was given for?
Yeah.
It does away with all the I cannot.
Amen.
It does away with all of the excuses.
Amen.
That's what the Holy Ghost does.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost will help you to live right.
Yeah.
We will always make mistakes, but God can take care of the mistakes.
Yeah.
But don't make my Holy Ghost something weak.
No,
Brother Branham said, don't ever say you got weak faith.
Amen.
You tell Satan, I've got good faith.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I was listening to a man a while ago. He said, we're commissioned
yes.
to tell the devil to take a hike.
Yes.
But we got to let him go.
Amen.
If you don't let him go, it ain't going to do me no good.
Right.
My commission ain't going to be much good, is it?
No.
You've got to let him go.
Amen.
Let all your doubts, let all those little petty things go from his mind up here.
Amen.
The greatest battle ever fought right up here in the mind.
Amen.
Let it go. Let God feed that mind.
Amen.
Love.
Amen.
The message is actionable.
Amen.
Love will correct.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Are you happy?
Amen.
I think I'm happy.
Amen.
Amen. Key of D. My voice is deep right now, Brother Moore. I think I preached too hard Sunday. But God bless us. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Amen. I love him, don't you? Brother James, it's good to see you this evening. I wished him a happy birthday the other day, and I told him he was a pretty good kid. We got a lot of kids in here. I'm one of them. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of these kids, we need to shrink back down a little bit. They're getting in too big of a hurry. Let me tell you, parents, let your voice be the loudest voice. Don't let the voice out here in the world be the loudest voice. Just a little wisdom. You teach them what's right. Don't you teach them it's okay to do wrong. You might kick me around, but I'm going to tell you something. Teach them what's right. Teach them how to live right. Teach them how to keep clothes on. I've been down the road a little bit. And I've seen a lot. I've made my mistakes. But you teach your children to keep their clothes on. You teach them to be a boy if he's a boy. And if he sees a girl, keep her as a girl. Amen. You teach them what's right. Amen. I'm crying to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You listen to my voice. Amen. If you don't, you'll get in trouble.
That's right.
I'm telling you the truth. I feel the anointing right now, Brother Moore.
Amen.
You teach your children.
Amen.
And I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
Mom and dads, be mom and dads to your children. Act right in front of them.
Yes.
Your greatest testimony is the life that you put in front of them.
Yes.
Every one of us, our greatest testimony isn't standing up here and getting behind the microphone. It's when you walk out that door there.
Yes.
Let your testimony count.
Yes.
Let it speak for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
You mark it down.
Yes,
and you listen to my voice.
Amen.
Crying out to you.
Amen.
As an eagle would scream.
Yeah. Amen.
You listen to that voice, because it's God's voice speaking to you.
Right.
And you young children,
yes, it is.
You listen to mom and dad.
Amen.
You respect them.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Moore, I got to let you back up here. I got to come on up here. How many appreciate you, Brother Moore?
God bless you, brother. Amen.
Now, I love this man right here.
Amen.
And the Lord let me see that he's a good man.
Yes.
He's a good man.
Amen.
And I would never want to say different than that.
Amen.
Always respect one another.
Amen.
Respect your pastor.
Yes.
And listen to God speak.
Amen.
If he's up here alone speaking, whoever is speaking, listen to what God has to say. It's applicable.
Amen.
It's applicable to this guy. This guy needs help every day.
Oh, yeah.
I love you, Brother Moore.
Amen. All right, church.
Amen.
Now, let me just say this, and I'm going to get the preacher up. He couldn't have heard Bible study.
That's right.
It's not recorded.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
Amen.
I'm just trying to let you all see that what I was telling y'all Sunday night, God's confirming it tonight with somebody who was not even here.
Amen.
Is that right, church?
Yes.
Okay, then I don't need to say nothing else. We talked about parents, we talked about the kids, we talked about the boys, we talked about the girls. We had a good discussion Sunday night.
Amen.
And it covered all of that. So, amen. He knows what he's doing.
Amen.
And if y'all don't believe me, he'll bring somebody that couldn't even get to the service on Sunday night because it's not recorded.
I love it.
Confirming his word. That's what God's doing. So, amen, Brother Allen.
Amen.
So, I'm going to get Brother Peter Okeo up here, and we're going to sing Only Believe. Now, he'd come all the way over here to talk to us. I want him to take his time, because if he talks fast, we won't understand him. And we want to be able to understand him. Just stick that in your pocket. I already got it turned over. I think it's fine. We want to understand every word he's got to say. Amen.
Only believe.
That's all you got to do. Only believe that all things are possible. Only believe. Yes, only believe. Only believe that all things are possible. Only.
God bless you, Brother Peter. It's all yours, brother.
Praise God. You may sit down a little bit. Oh, Brother Mo. He put me on top gears, brother. I was saying I want to start down on very low gears. But he just got up here and just, whew.
I know.
Yeah. God bless you, my brother. Yeah. Oh, my. You know, Brother Mo spoke, and then he speaks, and now they have just torn my message. Well, I would like to bring you greetings. Greetings from my church and from my family. Sure, it's good having Brother James. You know, when I was down there in Indiana, I was just saying, when I arrive, the first thing I'll tell Brother Mo, I want to see James.
Amen.
So when I was in the vehicle and I called Mo, he said, James is saying he's coming with me to meet you. I said, is he strong enough? He didn't just come. He was the driver. Ooh. I said, God be praised. It means quite a lot. Because there was a time I just said, let me see what's going on at Fairborn. When I turned it on, I found it was his mother talking. Then Pastor Moore talked a bit. I said, what's happening to James? Because she wasn't saying what was going on. And Pastor Moore didn't really say what was happening. So I sent him a quick email. Just short one. What's going on with James? You know, we've lost quite a few brothers down the line. And no, I always think Brother Mo has got twins. And those twins are Jeremiah and James. So when I saw that thing about James, and then I said, no, let me check an earlier service so that I know what's going on. I told my wife, oh, one of my friends is in the hospital. And I said, we've got to pray.
Amen.
So we just prayed and believed God. And what a surprise it was that it was Brother James who came to meet me. Oh, got me? God bless you. I know the relief you feel. I know what it means. I know what you went through. Yeah, I know what it means. And it's so good that this church stood as a family. You know, it makes one feel that, yes, I belong. Yeah. It's good to feel that you have a family that cares.
Amen.
Yeah. That's very good. That's true fellowship. You see, somebody say, the world does not want to hear us talk about love. The world wants us to manifest that love. Yeah, so it's not so much what we talk about love, but what we show about love. I'm so thrilled to be back in this fellowship. After the COVID years. You know, we just couldn't make it. We couldn't move. There was a time we wouldn't move out of the city of Nairobi. Nairobi was closed off from the rest of the country. No services, nothing going on. It was quite a trying time. For about 6 months, we were just closed in. Nobody allowed to go out. Nobody allowed to come in. Well, but now we are free to move. And many churches fell during that time. I think the devil was aiming just to destroy. So it's good to be back in fellowship again and to see the brethren. Amen. Just love that. Amen. So I was just wondering, now, what do I share with them? What do I share? And there is a lot. But something just came to my mind and I said, no. Amen. We could go through the mystery of Melchizedek. It's not really to say, who is this Melchizedek? No. Right. Branham preached that. Right. But I just want us to look at the Melchizedek mystery.
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham preached two messages the same day. In the morning, he preached marriage and divorce. Yeah. And it took him 3 years to get it all together. Right. From 1963, that's when he first said, God gave me that, said, tape it and keep it away. Then you come to 1964. He is still saying, I'm getting more on marriage and divorce. Then there's a time, I think it was around August, he said, this morning, God just finished telling me about marriage and divorce. But later on he says, well, I'm still waiting. If he gives me everything, then I'll put it on tape. Then when he preached marriage and divorce, he said, just the other day, that's when I got that. And the last mystery that God gave him was the mystery of a woman. I always say a woman is a mystery revealed in the seventh seal. You look at our sisters, one thing you should know, you are a mystery.
Amen.
A woman is just a mystery.
Amen.
No wonder Peter said, live with them according to knowledge. You can be married for so long, and you think you know your wife, you know nothing. She's a mystery. Yeah. The prophet said you can't look at a woman walking down the street and know what's going on in her heart. Yeah. At times we even have meetings for the married people. Just the married alone, and then you realize people don't know the mystery of a woman. And you know, the language they talk is not the language we talk.
Amen.
See? Somebody, I think, wrote a book. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Is that right? And that means that the communication system is quite different. I see over there in Africa, a woman will wake up in the morning and say, no, I'm tired, I can't stay, I'm going. And then some foolish man like Okeo will wake up and say, is it money you don't have? And give her money. Then they follow them to their homes and say, I want to know what my wife is doing here. You know, in Africa, they let the elders sit down and they do the case. So they say, okay. Yeah, can you tell us? Your husband wants to know what you're doing here. And she'll say, you ask him how I came. Say, well, ask him how you came, and he wants to know what you are doing here. Say, just ask him how I came. Where did I get the money? And then when the question is thrown, he says, well, I saw she wanted to come, so I gave her the money. I said, you gave her the money? So you are the one who sent away your wife? The case is turned against you, brother. When she says, I can't stay around, I'm going, that's the language from Venus. It doesn't mean the same thing. Jeremiah, it doesn't mean she's going. It just means there are matters I want us to solve. Yeah, that's what she means. Yeah. She's just telling you that, well, there are matters here. There are things we've got to talk about them. But she'll say, I'm going. If you're going to work, you won't meet me here. And then you say, oh, I don't know whether I'll meet her. You'll sure meet her there. Because she wants things solved. But their language is not our language. So that's the last mystery that was revealed to William Branham. And especially in the human race, she's completely different from all other females. In creation, completely different. There is no female bird or animal, fish, anything like a woman.
Amen.
The only thing prettier than the male.
Come on.
Yeah. She's the only one prettier than the male. In all other species, it's the male. Come over to Nairobi, we take you to see the lion, and you find that male lion. Oh, you like to really look at it. Look at the female lioness. Ah, not much to see. But come to the human race. Yeah. If a man is more attractive than his wife, something is wrong. Praise God. So you find, of course, people took that message of marriage and divorce and they cut it into pieces. And we got some guys found the only thing William Branham preached was monogamy. Others found the only thing he ever preached was polygamy. And everybody tore it into pieces and made different doctrines out of it. Amen. But that message brings a whole lot of mystery about the bride of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And the prophet says, that's the reason Adam was told when he was yet in his original beginning, when he was both male and female in himself, he was told, multiply and replenish the earth. There was no man and there was no woman. The man Adam, who could till the soil, was not yet there. It's just the created man who was both male and female. And you know, that used to make me marvel, say, how? But then I came to look at the plants. The plants are male and female. Otherwise, if it wasn't so, it would not produce fruit.
Amen.
That's why it is self-pollinating. It's male and female in itself. And the Bible says God created man in his own image.
Yes.
And therefore showing God was male and female in himself.
Amen.
So we just think of man and woman, but God is having a higher picture.
Amen.
And what we talk about marriage and divorce is, it's not just marriage and divorce. I was telling somebody, well, divorce does not come when you are of the same kind.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Divorce should not be there among the Christians.
Amen.
Because Jesus said, all that the Father has given me, I will in no wise lose any.
Amen.
So, Amen. When you get the right mate,
that's right.
You see, the prophet says, if you marry her for beauty or for something, that will fade, that will pass out. If she looked at you and saw somebody with strong, big shoulders, say that will pass. But I say, if you just got a woman that you love, you don't know why, but you just love her. You know, you can critique her as much as you can, and you can entertain every critic. But still, when you are alone, you realize she's the one in your heart.
Amen.
See? And she meets a man. Doesn't matter what you tell her about the man. Something way down deep in her. See, yeah, I know that. I know that. I know he's not the most handsome. I know he's not the richest. I know all those things. But yet, I don't know why, but I love him.
Amen.
You say, that's your eternal mate in glory.
Amen.
Now, do you divorce an eternal mate in glory?
Right.
So, Christ cannot divorce any member of the bride.
Amen.
That's our eternal destination.
Right.
He can't. There is no way. But if it's not of your kind, because that's why the prophet said, whatsoever God did not put together, if man put together,
right.
Any man can put asunder.
Amen.
Starting from there, two of them. Yeah. Yeah. The two of them, they can break that thing. And any man can say, well, you didn't get the right one. Mm-hmm. We'll get you a better one and then can put asunder. But if it was God,
right.
Who knit you together? And the prophet says, the union between man and woman, between husband and wife, is not complete until it's between husband and wife and God.
Amen.
Because first,
that's right.
Man is connected to God, the woman is connected to God, and then God knits them together. That one, there is no breaking. Because you just can't. Even if you try, it wouldn't work.
Amen.
You just find yourself coming back to each other.
That's right.
The same way, if you really are married to the Word of God,
that's right.
Genuinely married, and you are, you are in Him before the foundation of the world,
yes.
Try get away from the Word.
Amen.
Just try it. You'll find yourself coming back.
Right.
Try staying away from where the Word of God is being preached.
Amen.
You just can't make it. Because you don't come because you are a member of the church.
Amen.
Not at all. You don't come because of that. Look at when 70 left Jesus. He turned to the 12 and asked them, "Aren't you going too?" Yeah, he wasn't trying to keep them from going. No, aren't you going? He said, "To whom, Lord? To whom shall we go? For thou alone hast the words of eternal life." And he says, life connects with life.
Yes.
And death connects with death.
Yes.
And that's why at times you find people say, "Brother, if you are not going to preach it like this, I'll leave the church." Sure, you joined the church, you can as well leave the church because you are a member of the church. But if you are joined to the word, I don't see how you can leave the word. You see? And the prophet says that's the reason Adam was told, multiply and replenish the world. Showing that the bride of Jesus Christ will come from the word. By spiritual multiplication.
That's right.
You see, God's original way was to bring it by the spoken word.
Amen.
Sex life is never God's perfect will.
Amen.
That came in
Amen.
As an alternative because of the fallen condition. God's way was the spoken word.
Amen.
That's how he was multiplying Adam. Just take a part of him and make the woman. Take a part of his spirit, the female part, and put in the woman.
Amen.
And children would have come by the spoken word.
Amen.
But look, now we come by the physical multiplication first. Then Jesus said, "You must be born again."
Amen.
Adam was the spirit man came first.
Yes.
All Genesis chapter 1 is God's spoken word.
Amen.
And God spoke everything and rested.
Yes.
I don't know whether I'll get into my sermon. You know the problem, you guys, you don't know, a preacher is a hunting dog. And when you tell a hunting dog, shake him,
right.
Oh, he'll not leave that deer. He'll run after it. So when you keep telling me, shake him, you know, I keep moving on. But you see, what's going on is, Paul told, I think it was either Timothy or Titus, "The words you've heard from me, commit to faithful men who will in turn teach others."
Amen.
What people have not appreciated is the place of this word.
Amen.
Because the multiplication is coming from the word.
Amen.
That's why God came down in William Marion Branham, the way he came in Moses. And Moses spoke the word. And they were put in the tablets. And when they were put in that tabernacle, the pillar of fire left Moses and followed the words behind the tabernacle. And when the ark was moved over into the temple, the pillar of fire left the tabernacle and went into the temple.
Amen.
And when Christ became the Word made flesh, God came into him. That's the reason when he died on the cross of Calvary, the temple veil was rent from top to bottom, not from bottom to top. Because if it was bottom to top, it means any human being would have done that. But it was rent from the top to bottom, and that thing is 40 feet high, showing it was God who did it to open. And you know, that is what was there between the holy place and the holiest of all. It was the one separating the priests who were in the holy place, shielding them away from that holy presence of the Shekinah glory. So God rent it all. Amen. To let them see there is nothing there. Right. He has already moved. He's no longer there.
Amen.
That was one purpose of renting that veil.
Amen.
Then on the day of Pentecost, he came into the people.
Yeah, right.
But look, 70 AD. When Jerusalem was surrounded in 69 by General Titus, they went to the temple to pray. And they kept praying and fasting to their God, not knowing that he was no longer there. He was in his people. And Paul, one of the Pharisees, was persecuting the very people because they were fanatics. And Jesus told him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He knew God is still in the temple. But you see, he had left. And when the disciples scattered, God was scattered outside Israel.
Yeah. Amen.
And he hasn't been back ever since.
Amen.
What about today? When the denominations have rejected him, and the churches, even called believers' churches,
right,
have rejected him. And the prophet preaches the unveiling of God. And he says, when you say the sword, will it not reap? There is another reaping of the veil in our day. And some are still behind the veil. The prophet says, but you are not behind the veil, little children. You see what's going on. You are partakers, but they think they know about it.
Amen.
But they are behind the veil.
That's right. Amen.
It will take somebody who gets into the veil, gets what it is, it becomes flesh in his flesh, life in his life, to come speak it forth.
Amen.
And when you get it in the same spiritual atmosphere, it imparts the same word, the same life into you, and creates in you that bride material. And that's what should be going on now.
Amen.
The multiplication of the word.
Amen.
The bride, as you receive it, and it goes on, and they receive it, and our children receive it, and that word becomes material.
Yes.
Sure.
She's filling the world.
Yeah. Amen.
And remember, it was not just filling the world, not filling the earth. but to have dominion. Yes. To come to the point where Satan has no say. Amen. Where Satan is completely helpless. Amen. Yeah. Because the promise is, when he rose on high and sat on the right hand of God, waiting till his enemies be made his footstool.
That's right.
And that's the job we have.
Amen.
To make Satan his footstool.
Amen.
So, that is just on marriage and divorce. So in the evening, he preached, who is this Melchizedek?
Okay.
You see? He preached in the morning, marriage and divorce, which had taken him 3 years to gather. In the evening, he preached, who is this Melchizedek? And that had taken him 5 years. 5 years. And by Sunday, I think we shall have got all that 5 years. That's why I've divided it into three parts. Part one, the earlier things that the prophet, the earlier knowledge or understanding that he got about the Melchizedek mystery. Then, part two, to show when he started to have a change of understanding. And the last thing, maybe for Sunday morning, is the perfect understanding. Because that perfect understanding, if God will give us the chance to see it clearly, he says, it shows our journey through life. So, though he's saying, who is this Melchizedek? And you know, we look at it theologically. Oh yeah, it's Melchizedek. Yeah. Was it Jesus? Was it what? No. He says through that mystery, we see our journey through life from eternity to eternity. Every stage of our journey. And if we don't get the correct understanding, then we will not get the correct understanding of our journey through life.
Amen. Amen.
So we just want to go slow on it. We are not going to be in a hurry.
Amen.
And maybe a lot of things will come in, I don't know, as the Spirit leads.
Yes. Amen.
So I want us to turn to Hebrews. Hebrews 7, verse 1 to 4. And for those who are new to me, you know, my accent may be of some trouble. Because sometimes the way we pronounce things may not be the way you're used to. But there is one thing that I like with this place. Pastor Nate Moore always takes down everything and then he summarizes. Yeah. I've known that and it's good. That's very good. As a pastor, that's very good. Because somebody might have missed something somewhere. Or overlooked something. And when you bring the summary, you fill in the gaps. It's always good to fill in the gaps.
Amen.
So would we just turn to that? And I don't know if you'd mind standing.
Amen.
We pray and read the word of God. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your grace and loving kindness. We magnify your holy name, O God. May your grace, may your love and glory be with us. May you speak unto us the word of life. Let your grace and love overshadow us. Let your will be done. Lord, let the great Holy Ghost take over and reveal yourself, Lord, down in our hearts. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. For this Melchizedek, King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. May be seated. Now, there is something of great importance in this study, and maybe you'd wonder, why don't we go straight into the perfect revelation? Because we can do that. But there is something here that I want us to look at. If Jesus was a man, William Branham was a man. We've got to look at the man, William Branham, amen, and his growth, that's right, in the Word, and the stages of his ministry, the amen, different stages. Amen. Remember, he said he pastored for 17 years. But then the Lord had told him, there is a time he was told, do the work of an evangelist. Right. Then from 1946, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and told him, you've been given the gift of healing to take all over the world. Right. And when he went with that, that was his first pull. Right. And everybody welcomed him, and especially the Pentecostals. And he said he had meetings because he had to leave his church and go around in evangelistic field. And he told God, I'll continue in the field as long as it takes care of itself. If there ever will come a time that the ministry will not take care of itself, I'll leave the evangelistic field. And he said for 9 years, everything went on fine. No debts, no problem. People are calling him always. And he said the Pentecostals, who have held on to him more, had the greatest number of people increasing in their churches. But then he came to a change, and the Pentecostals got away from him. And he says, for three meetings, 1955, he said the problem started. Three meetings in a row, some brothers had to chip in and pay, offset the debts. He said, no, I've got to get out. But then the Lord told him, didn't they leave Jesus too? When he told them, eat my flesh, drink my blood. Say, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And they went away. 70. He remained with 12. And that's when he said, aren't you going to? Say, to whom we go, Lord? Thou alone as the word of eternal life. Remember, if you are coming here because you are a member of this church, it's getting too late for you.
Amen. That's right.
Because church membership got finished.
That's right.
It ended with the church ages.
Amen.
If you are not coming here because of the word, to connect with that word, but you're just coming here because you are a member,
right,
it's a bit late.
Amen.
You know, when I was leaving Nairobi, many people escorted me to the airport, but they didn't board the plane. We bid each other farewell. And they send me with greetings. So if you've been escorting others,
amen,
it's time to bid farewell.
Amen.
So that those who are making the journey can go.
Amen.
Yeah, because it's time to get on board.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't just stand on the periphery. Get on board.
Amen.
You are either in the word or you are outside the word.
Amen.
And just like the holiness we used to have, where it went through the church ages, justification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. The prophet calls it the three stations. But he says now the bride is not called to any station.
Amen.
The time for the three stations is over. Because he's calling the born again.
Amen.
Because he's not calling you to come into the new birth. When you come into the new birth, that is just the beginning.
Amen.
Of the third Exodus. Because the second birth only brings you to the new birth only brings you to the second Exodus that started on the day of Pentecost. But the third Exodus, he says, he is calling the born again to go into the land over yonder.
Amen.
Right.
He calls you, gives you that rapturing faith, gives you what's going to translate or change your body. And you know, you can say, I believe, brother. But listen, there is something. Abraham and Sarah believed. But when those three angels came down, and one of them being God himself, he did something. He spoke something. Said, shall I hide from Abraham the things that I do?
Right.
Seeing he'll inherit all things.
Amen.
He revealed the mysteries to Abraham.
Yes.
Yes.
And if you are a son or a daughter of Abraham, you'll desire revelation.
Amen.
You've got to be in a condition,
right,
that you can catch revelation.
Yes.
And remember what he says in Christ, the mystery of God revealed? Only the Holy Ghost is a divine revealer of God's divine word.
Amen.
And it can only be revealed to the elect who is born again. So there is a process going on. But people are stuck in church membership. You know, the church has been through church membership for almost 2,000 years.
Amen.
And it has become a trend.
Yes.
But God is doing something.
Right.
So he came down and asked Abraham, where is Sarah thy wife?
Yeah. Right.
In the tent behind you. So, okay, this time next year. And there is something I want to read so that we get the words right. Genesis 8. In this situation, small things matter. Genesis chapter 18, rather. 18, not 8, I'm sorry. Okay, listen to this. Let's start from from verse 11. Now, Abram and Sarah were old and were stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. That means she had reached her menopause. See? Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Then the question comes in verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, listen to the spoken words. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. That, if you take that out, then it changes it. He didn't just say Sarah will have a child. No.
Right.
According to the time of life.
Wow.
And Sarah shall have a son.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Look at verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. You see, it's repeated. Sarah says it had ceased to be with her. It has ceased to be with them according to the manner of life. In other words, she was out. She was in the menopause. But God says according to the time of life. That's the way it was going to happen. So it wasn't just going to be a miracle child. The miracle was, it was going to be with Sarah according to the time of life. God was reversing, was bringing back that she was going to have her periods again. That means she was being made young. Yeah. And it's the spoken word. I just want us to take notice. God was not going to do a miracle any other way. It's the word that he spoke that was going to do it.
Amen.
It's that word. That's why it's very important that the spoken word being spoken into you at this hour is going to start a process.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
She was made young. Not only was she made young, Abraham was made young.
Yeah.
That's the silence of the seventh seal, where the prophet says, I can show you this seventh seal right there in the book of Genesis. It's silent. But they were made young. And the prophet says, if they were just made young, she wouldn't have had the baby, because she had stayed with Abraham since she was 16. So if she was just made young, just reversing her years of youth, still, she wouldn't have had a baby. But the word that was spoken created in Sarah something that she lacked all that time. And the spoken word that is being spoken in our day, that came after the opening of the seals should create in the bride of Jesus Christ something that was not there for seven church ages.
Amen.
That rapturing condition, that rapturing faith, it starts a process. Brethren, the rapture is not an event. People are waiting for the event when we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. That's the culmination of a process that has taken a long time.
Amen.
Yes. It's the word being spoken into you. That's the greatest thing. When you receive that word, and the Holy Ghost is in you. Because the prophet says, when God said, take off your shoes from off your feet, because the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. It's not that God sanctified that place. We've been passing over Mount Sinai. When we go from Arabian countries over into Nairobi, we pass over Mount Sinai. There is no place there that's holy. But when that holy presence was there, that made it holy. And when that presence came into the temple, that made the temple holy. And when he left the temple and came into the body of Jesus Christ, I'll not leave my Holy One to see corruption. And when he came on the day of Pentecost into the church, that's what made the church the holy church of God.
Amen.
And when he comes into you, brother,
yes.
It's not how much you went through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's that holy presence of the Holy God abiding in you that makes you holy.
Amen.
And then the Bible says, it's him both willing and working his own good pleasure. It has nothing to do with my will. It's him willing in me. And it's him working in me. No wonder Paul would say, the life I now live is not I that liveth. It's Christ who lives in me. And that's why the prophet says, you say, Brother Branham, how will I know? He said, watch your life. If you're making it up,
right.
If you're struggling,
right.
Or if it's automatically working.
Amen.
Because when God is in there, he works it out.
Yes, he does.
He works it out. You see the reality. You see the supernatural.
Amen.
Does God still heal? Sure he does.
Yes, he does.
Just the other day, you know, they had told my wife, oh, you have the signs of leukemia. You have the signs of this. Oh, we don't know whether some of your internal organs have been destroyed. And we started spending money. Go for that test. And we have some doctors and nurses amongst us in the church. You say, what were you told? Oh, that means this. Oh, that means this. I told her, listen. That's the best we can. That's good. But we need God.
Right.
She couldn't walk much. A little walk, and all our feet are swollen, and everything. So, those are signs. Oh, it shows the kidney. Oh, it shows this. Oh, brother, you listen to those scientific stuff. You'll die before your time.
Amen.
One night, the Lord just came down and showed me exactly what was going on in our body. And the Lord told me, lay your hands on her and pray for her. So I woke up, from prayer and asked her, are you praying? She said, yes. I said, okay, tell me when you're through. I want to pray for you. So when she finished her prayer, she said, I'm through. I said, okay, I want to pray for you. I just laid my hands and prayed and rebuked the thing.
Amen.
I didn't tell her anything else. Then we went out. We went out to the shops. We were doing something. Then in the evening, she said, my, I wonder. I don't feel anything. Why did you pray for me? I said, well, the Lord told me to. Then before I traveled, one of the clinical officers who were following her life told her, okay, did you get the drugs? How is it going? Have you done all those tests you were told? She said, can I give you a testimony? Say, yeah, see? There's a night my husband just prayed for me. The Lord showed him what I was going through. And from that time, it's nothing.
Amen.
Yes, he still heals. He still heals. But now, we are not majoring on that.
Amen.
We are majoring on the creative word being
Amen.
Spoken
yes.
into the bride.
Amen.
Brother Mo, I can't see that clock properly. I can't see it. I want to be mindful. There are people who may be going, who will be going, definitely they'll be going to work. Oh, brethren. My, you know, people don't know. You go to churches and we are concentrating on things that don't matter.
Amen.
Brother, you don't understand. If you would understand, you would not miss a service.
That's right.
Because it's like laying the bricks one on top of the other. And every time you miss a service, you miss a brick.
That's right.
Yeah. And remember, it has got to be laid on and on and on till you are perfected.
Amen.
God never got you perfect. Like, God never gave you a perfect wife. You know, in our mind, we always want a perfect wife. My ideal wife, my wife will be like this, like that, like that. And even the ladies, they have an ideal husband.
Amen.
As for me, I'll be married by a man who is like this, like, you'll never get that. There'll always be some imperfection.
Yes.
Right.
And that imperfection is for two parts. One is to teach you tolerance and patience
Amen.
And understanding
Amen.
So that you also can know how to learn.
Amen.
And that's why sometimes when men are alone, you wonder, what's wrong with these women with their silly little mistakes? And then when the women are alone, they wonder what's wrong with these men. They don't understand. Because you go and ask your wife, why did you do that? That's not their language. Mm-mm. They don't have the whys and the because. That's not the language of women. Their language is, how did you feel? Yeah. How did you feel when he shouted at you? My, I felt bad. Oh, sister, I can feel it. That's their language. But men, it doesn't matter whether I shouted or not. I had a reason to shout. And you've got to ask me why I shouted. A woman has no time to ask you that. Yeah, because your actions or your reactions or your words play on her feelings. And she's more concerned of her feelings. I was embarrassed. He embarrassed me in front of people. But the men say, brother, why did you do it? Say, brother, I had to do it, brother. Imagine her doing this and that. I had to do it like that. And those are two parallel lines. Somebody must cross over. And the same thing, you've got to come to God's language. God's language of doing things. Brethren, William Marion was a prophet, yes, born a prophet. But I would like us to understand, just like Jesus was born a Messiah, but he wasn't a Messiah for 30 years. He was just growing up. He was just growing up. It's not even captured in Daniel 70 weeks. The years of the growth of Jesus, the 30 years, is not captured. The only time captured is 3.5 years. That's the time he was Messiah, or he manifested the messianic ministry. That's all that was captured. But he had to be born. He had to grow up. Look at John the Baptist. He grew up 30 years and had only 6 months ministry. Only 6 months. And that was a complete age. Complete age. It was a complete dispensation. Amen. Only 6 months. So when we talk about dispensation, you don't know. Come to God's language.
Yes. Amen.
So you find there are things the prophet talks about Melchizedek before he gets that clear understanding. And people argue, but he was a prophet all through. But he wasn't in the prophet's office.
Amen. That's right. Wow.
One, he was doing the pastoral work, right. 17 years.
Right.
He said, I tried it and it was never perfect.
That's right.
Then he did the work of an evangelist.
Yeah.
In the message present stage of my ministry, say he didn't say I was an evangelist. But he said, do the work of an evangelist. For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. And that time came. And there was a lapse of about from 1955. 1957, he says, if America doesn't catch it this year, this is our last time. Then there was a lull. Before the seals opened in 1963. And that's when he came into the office of a prophet.
Amen.
And he says that in the present stage of my ministry. He says, if God called me to be a prophet, and if I found favor in his sight, and if I've been faithful in the work he gave me to do the work of an evangelist. I can't evangelize and be a prophet at the same time.
Right.
So maybe he's calling me from evangelism into the prophet's office. Then he says, and the only way a prophet can be vindicated is by the word. And that's where I want us to watch, because I want us to make one or two statements on that. Listen. Moses was called and given two signs to go down to Egypt. He had a stick in his hand, and the other one was, put your hand on your chest, it's leprous, put it back. So with those two signs, he went to Egypt. And William Branham goes to the denominations with the first and the second pole. The first pole, all of them receiving. The second pole, the sign of discernment. He says that's the last sign that the church ever received. They had received healings, miracles, but when discernment came, with the back being turned to the congregation, and he could say their names and where they come from and everything, that was the last sign. The next thing was what? The revealing of the Son of Man. No longer the sign of the Son of Man, but the revealing. And that's when the seals are to open, to reveal the Son of Man. And now, brethren, we shouldn't struggle to reproduce those other signs. But the prophet says, in proving his word, that for her to be the bride, it will have to be the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. Amen. The revealing of the Son of Man took 3 years. 63 to 65. And then he preached, recognizing your day and its message. Amen. Now look. Moses asked God, Lord, how will I know? He says, listen. After you have taken them out of Egypt, you shall serve me upon this mountain. And that mountain is standing still today as an everlasting sign in Arabia. Is that right? The same thing, William Branham had to go into the denominations, then come out with Revelation 18, calling, come out over my people, prophesying against denominations and against nations with the second pole sign. Amen. Then, after he has taken them out, he says, those seals were not revealed in the denominations. They were revealed outside. Amen. But where does he go? To the mountain. He also was given a mountain for an everlasting sign. Amen. But when he goes there, he doesn't come thundering to the Branham Tabernacle. He just comes preaching simple messages. Right. Who is this Melchizedek? Anointed ones at the end time. Thinking man's filter. Right. Marriage and divorce. Just simple messages. But what is it? It's what the thunder spoke to him. Amen. On the mountain. Right. And for 3 years, the messianic message is given. Just like Paul had 3 years. And that brings us to the end of Genesis 1. You can get that in 3 books. 1, God's power of transformation. 2, God's power to transform. 3, Shalom. He brings in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Because in Genesis 1, God created everything. And yet, when you go to Genesis 2, there was nothing. There was no man to till the soil. There were no plants. There was nothing. Yet God has finished his creation. And that's what he did with William Marion Branham.
Amen. Wow. Amen.
It was the spoken word. And he says, the bride stands perfect.
Yeah. Sure.
But Brother Jeremiah, there was no bride there. There was no bride. Because if that was the bride, it should have been in the Branham Tabernacle. But you read the seals, the questions and answers on the seals, he tells Branham Tabernacle, you are not getting it. And I know, and you are not supposed to get it. So, today it's Branham Tabernacle where there are no meetings. But he was told, store it in tapes and in books.
Amen.
It will take some anointed servant. Just like Moses was God, and he was told Aaron will be your prophet.
Right.
Now the fivefold ministry have to get into the storehouse.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
And that's what he says in Unveiling of God, page 22. Say, how can this revival go on? How can it continue? It's Jehovah unveiling God.
Right.
You see? God unveils this mystery to an individual. You speak it, and the elect catch it.
Amen.
And if there are ministers among them, they speak it. And somebody catches it, and the multiplication of the word is just going on and on and on and on.
Amen.
And brother, as the elect catch it and speak it, it goes on creating that bright material in each of us, and we're just multiplying.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why it's very important to make sure you are saying what the Lord spoke through his messenger. We don't create our own righteousness.
Right.
We don't create our own holiness.
No,
so you find the first part, I have a lot of quotes here I can give you. The prophet was mixing everything. Listen to this. In the beginning, God was a spirit, and all the fountain of goodness and mercy and power, and all the good things of love, God was the center of that fountain. Then the logos that went out of God in the beginning became what we call a theophany or a supernatural body. God is just not like the air, but he is in a body. Moses seen him pass, and it looked like the back part of a man and so forth. Then that same theophany was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him, the only begotten of the Father, Christ.
Yes.
Then listen to the next. That one is in the message we would see Jesus preached in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, 1957. Then the next one. Let's close our eyes to our imagination for a few moments and go way back into for there was anything. The great fountain of all eternity was that spirit of love and joy, that spirit of honesty, that spirit of trueness in this perfection. Then out of the existence of the Father went the Logos, which was the Son, which was the Theophany, which was the body of the great Jehovah, God, went forth in a celestial body. Thus the Logos, the Word, spoke out of them great fountains of life and went forth. And there was the Theophany, which was God made in the Word. Then he says, Hebrews chapter 1, paragraph 128. Now, when that great light went out, or the great rays of spirit, love, peace, that's all there was, that there wasn't no suffering, there wasn't no hate, no malice. It couldn't come from this fountain. That was Jehovah. That was Jehovah God. And now, as the theologians call it, a theophany went from that, which was called in the scriptural, the Logos that went out of God. It's hard to explain it, but it was a part of God. Now, here is what happened. Excuse me. I just get all this the Logos and this great fountain of spirit, which had no beginning nor end, this great spirit began to form in the creation. And the Logos that went from it was the Son of God. It was the only visible form that the Spirit had, and it was a theophany, which means a body, and the body was like a man. And Moses saw it, and it looked like a man. It's the same type of body that we receive when we die here. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting, that was it. And that was the theophany, which was the Son of God. That Son, the Logos, became flesh, because we were put in flesh. And the theophany, the Logos became flesh here among us, and it was nothing else but the dwelling place for that entire fountain dwelt in him. Do you see it? There it is. Now he brings it, and then he says, he reached out and took the elements and spoke and pew, and got in it, pew, and got in it. Now, in another place he says, that Logos was the soul. He says it was the soul. He says it was a theophany. And then he says, but it wasn't a body like this, because he says it couldn't touch. It could not, you know, he says it didn't have the senses.
Right.
So, he brings in quite a mixture. Are you getting it?
Sure.
Oh, praise God. Yeah? You see? Because the soul that was in the man is that theophany. Oh, I never get this. You know? Now, he brings a lot of this. Now, listen to another thing he says. And now the Logos that went out of God, which was the Logos, all these begin to form into a body shape. And this body shape was called in the scholar's teaching, Logos, the Logos that went out of God. In other words, a better word, what they call theophany. Theophany is a human body that's glorified, not exactly with flesh and blood like it will be in the glorified stage, but it is of a form of human body that doesn't eat, neither does it drink. It's a body that's waiting for us as soon as we leave this. Now in there, we enter into that body. And that's the kind of body that God was. He said, let us make man in our own image. So you find he brings it, hits this, hits that. Some things he gets right. Some things he doesn't get right. But God doesn't even correct it. Why? It was not that stage. He was doing the work of an evangelist. And God just let it go. But when the time came to open the word, we are going to see what God started to show him. So let's leave that for that today. We'll come on Saturday. Yes, and then we get when he started getting into the understanding. And he himself will bring the corrections. Say, I used to think like this. I didn't know it's like that. We don't want to imagine. You know, so many times people think they are going to put words in the mouth of the prophet. You don't. If God told Isaiah, go tell the king to put his house in order. He's going to die. And then the king prays. God is not going to talk to the king. He's going back to his prophet. And whatsoever wasn't straightened, stands. What are to be straightened? God himself goes back to his prophet.
That's right.
Let's just have a... can we just bow our heads? I want to have a short word of prayer. We want to thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, you are the only one who can bring it all out for us. May you take all these scattered words, Lord, and put a meaning to it. Lord, let the great Holy Spirit unveil it all, and may your will be made known to us. Let thy grace and glory overshadow us. May we have the correct understanding of the stages of the ministry that you took your servant through, and let your glory so shine In Jesus' holy name we pray. Pastor Mo.
Bless you.
I'll take this from you.
Yeah.
That's my turn.
Mm-hmm. God bless you, Brother Peter. You know, it's good. It's good to have people in this message that understands the progressive ministry.
Yes.
It's really good to see that because people have been stuck on Brother Branham since 19... whatever. And they didn't see the change. And I love to see how the Brother Peter is bringing it, how the Brother Branham did the work of a pastor. He did the work of evangelist. He was doing all these things, and then that whole time, God was doing things to get us ready for the Word. And I love that because same thing he did with Brother Brown's the same thing he did with you. You know, we didn't come into the message knowing the message. We come in here just as blind as ever before and didn't know our head from our tail, and didn't know nothing, and swung at it and guessed at it until he come. And the same way with Brother Branham, he did the best he could with what he had. But what people don't understand is because he had a ministry, his Brother Branham's biggest problem was that we had tape recorders. That was his problem, because they recorded everything he said, and because they thought he was always a prophet, and a prophet can't be wrong, they thought, well, Brother Branham has to be right. This has got to be correct, and Brother Branham's got to do this. But no, he was a man like we are. And I was thinking about when he was preaching, I said, you know, God, you can always tell it's God because it comes simple. And I started sitting there thinking about all the different prophets and all the different people who God used during the Bible. And it was never hard when God brought it. God in simplicity is what Brother Branham preached, and he put it in the church. But God in simplicity, he always came. When Jesus come, he didn't come like those theologians with their nine-letter words, those big theological sermons. He was so simple. And anytime God moved in the Old Testament saints and the Old Testament prophets, it was simple. And then he come in the end time with Brother Branham. Didn't pick a college graduate. Didn't pick somebody who was well-educated. Man had a ninth grade education, and you could tell it in the words that he spoke when he preached. Simple man. But yet it was God all the time. But he, like everybody else, had a ministry that God was bringing to where it needed to be. And I just heard him say something that just struck me so when he's talking about Moses. And I was thinking about Moses, and he said Moses had those pulls. And I thought, well, Moses only had the first two. And Brother Branham, when he dealt with the denomination, he had dealt with them with the first two. And I said, well, if Moses had the first two, where did the third pull come? Third pull was Joshua. The one that took him in the land wasn't Moses. Moses didn't take them in. It was Joshua did. And Brother Branham didn't take us in. The first two pulls brought us to the Word. But it was our Joshua, the Lord himself, that took us into the land. So it types out so perfectly how God was bringing it. And even in Brother Branham's own walk. And just think about Moses. Moses had a messed up ministry. He was messed up from the beginning. He wasn't always God's prophet. He was Pharaoh's stepson. And he did the best he could with what he had. But the best he got was one dead Egyptian. Messed things up and went running for his life. And then God brought him back, but it was after God dealt with him. And then the same with Brother Branham. Brother Branham did, you know, Brother Branham had some times that he actually wanted to leave the ministry. He wanted to throw this thing up. He wanted to forget it. But, you know, God always, like you said, if it's a marriage by God, you ain't going nowhere. Brother Branham had a job to do. And as much as he wanted to go the other way, God just kept him right there. Because he knew that much as Brother Branham fumbled around with the first pull and second pull and trying to preach, because remember, Brother Branham had a Baptist background.
So the Baptist background influenced his thinking. That's why he had the soul and the spirit mixed up. That's why he had everything. He had us climbing the pyramid. He had us trying to get the Holy Ghost and getting power for service. He had all these things because of his denominational teaching, two comings of the Spirit. He had all this stuff mixed in, and people in this message, because they don't realize it was a ministry that was progressive, they try to make all of it fit, and it don't all fit. You got to find out where the prophet moved, where he changed. And when the prophet changed, he changed because God changed him. When he was going to preach those seven seals, and I know he's going to get into it, I'm getting there. When he preached those seven seals, he was going to make a terrible mistake till the angel came. So after 63, Brother Branham's ministry got simpler. What was hard became simple. What was hard to understand became easy to understand. It's because it wasn't Brother Branham here. It's the Lord himself. And here he was, Brother Branham doing the best he could, and people in this message, God bless them, they say he's a prophet, and they believe he's a prophet, but they don't realize he's a man. Brother Brent said, I'm a man. I could change my mind. Thank God he changed his mind. And he changed his mind many times. As his revelation got stronger. And as he got stronger, and as traditions, like you say, the prophet had traditions? Yes. Just like everybody else. He come out of that just like everybody else. Like he said, he was in denomination. He went in there and he come out. And he come out to bring us out. So I ain't going to say nothing else. Because he's got a lot to say on Saturday and Sunday. He's got plenty more to talk on. And I don't want to steal his thunder. But I was sitting there writing things down while I jot some stuff down and he'd say it. I'm like, I jot something else down and he'd say it. I'm like, ah. So I was following the whole time, so I really enjoyed that, Brother Peter. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that there's people that really understand the ministry. I love that you're breaking down that ministry of Brother Branham and the different stages. I love that because, you know, we don't hear that a lot, and we don't ever take time to look at it like you did, to look at the sections that was a pastor and look at the section that was an evangelist, and those years line up, and all the way through there it was perfect, and I enjoyed it. Come on, musicians, we're gonna close. Glad that Brother Peter Okeo came to visit us.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to Saturday. Saturday night service starts at 7, Sunday morning starts at 10, and then dinner afterwards, Sunday afternoon, then Bible study Sunday night. So we got a full weekend ahead, but crochet is 6 p.m. on Sunday? Ooh, y'all sisters are going to be busy. Crochet on Sunday at 6 p.m., church at 7, so amen. Amen. We're standing on holy ground. He said it. What makes the holy ground holy is that God's on that ground. Don't forget the announcements come expecting Sunday and Saturday. Amen. He'll be with us for the next few days. And if you want to take him home for dinner or something, let us know. We can make that happen. He eats every day. He's healthy. That's why he looks like he does. So just Amen. Keep that in mind and pray for him because, you know, it's a lot. He's got a lot on him. So we are standing on holy ground. Amen. The key of D. We are standing on holy ground.
Now, for we are still.
God's presence on holy ground. Yes, we are.
Let us pray.